Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Thursday edition of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. 24 hours from now, I'll be joined right here, I think in studio, maybe via Zoom. I am verified. The Vegas Joe Sapecki will be my fine co-devil in the 4 o'clock hour on Friday. And then the expanded lineup, it's coming on Monday on Valentine's Day. And my little buddy, Dominic, joining me for the 10th anniversary of yours truly and the Devil's Advocates. 10 years of broadcast excellence, I'd like to think. In this hour, we're going to discuss a op-ed from Liz Cheney. Now, I don't say much nice about the Cheney family, not often, but she at least has had the courage to serve on the January 6th committee. And she has shown a hell of a lot more courage than anyone else in her party. And she wrote an op-ed, and I don't often quote the Wall Street Journal. Don't even have a subscription there. It's Rupert Murdoch, you know. But she wrote an op-ed, and I'm going to read from this. The January 6th committee won't be intimidated. We are focused on facts, not rhetoric, and will present them, no matter what our critics say. Written by Liz Cheney. I keep on my desk a copy of the oath my great-great-grandfather signed when he reenlisted in the Union Army in 1863. Like the oath given for all of those who serve in the government and every member of our armed forces, Samuel Fletcher Cheney swore to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Generations of Americans have sworn that same oath and given their lives to defend the Constitution and our nation. Last week, former Vice President Mike Pence spoke about the events of January 6, 2021. President Trump was wrong, he said. To insist that Mr. Pence or any vice president could overturn the election by refusing to count certified slates of electoral votes, the notion was, as Mr. Pence said, un-American. What Mr. Trump had insisted that Mr. Pence do on January 6th was not only un-American, it was unconstitutional and illegal. Did you catch that? Liz Cheney's basically saying your presidency, Donald Trump, broke some laws. Article 2 and the 12th Amendment govern how the nation selects the president. Congress doesn't select the president. The states do. Every state in the union selects a presidential candidate through a popular vote. And every state identifies the manner in which disputes regarding the election are addressed under state law. Those laws set forth a process for challenging an election when concerns arise, including potential recounts or audits, and an opportunity to litigate disputed issues in court. When the courts have resolved any election challenges and the election results have been certified by the governor of a state, the election is over. That is the rule of law. The 12th Amendment also leaves little doubt that Congress must count the certified electoral votes it receives from the states. Here's what it reads. The president of the Senate shall, in the presence of the Senate and House of Representatives, open all certificates, and the votes shall then be counted. The person having the greatest number of votes for president shall be president. Now, Cheney goes on to write, this provision doesn't say, for example, Congress must count certified electoral votes unless it has concern about fraud allegations or unless it disagrees with the outcome of state or federal court litigation. And the vice president, as president of the Senate, presiding over the count, cannot simply refuse to count a state certified slate of electoral votes, either under the Constitution or under the Electoral Count Act of 1887. Republicans used to advocate fidelity to the rule of law and the plain text of the Constitution. In 2020, Mr. Trump convinced many to abandon those principles. He falsely claimed that the election was stolen from him because of widespread fraud. While some degree of fraud occurs in every election, there was no evidence of fraud on a scale that could have changed this one. As the Select Committee will demonstrate in hearings later this year, no foreign power corrupted America's voting machines, and no massive secret fraud changed the election outcome. Almost all members of Congress know this, although many lack the courage to say it out loud. Mr. Trump knew it too, from his own campaign officials, from his own appointees at the Justice Department, and from dozens of lawsuits he lost. Yet, Mr. Trump ignored the rulings of the courts and launched a massive campaign to mislead the public. Our hearings will show that these falsehoods provoked the violence on January 6th. Again, these are sort of legal, litigious words she's using here. Mr. Trump's lawyers have begun to pay the price for spreading these lies. For example, Rudy Giuliani's license to practice law has been suspended because he communicated demonstrably false and misleading statements to courts, lawmakers, and the public at large in his capacity as a lawyer to former President Donald Trump, in the words of a New York appellate court. The January 6th investigation isn't only about the inexcusable violence of that day. It is also about fidelity to the Constitution and the rule of law, whether elected representatives believe in those things or not. One member of the House Freedom Caucus warned the White House in the days before January 6th that the president's plans would drive a stake in the heart of the federal republic. That was exactly right. Those who do not wish the truth of January 6th to come out have predictably resorted to attacking the process, claiming it is tainted and political. Our hearings will show this charge to be wrong. We are focused on facts, not rhetoric, and we will present those facts without exaggeration, no matter what criticism we face. My late friend Charles Krauthammer once said, "The lesson of our history is that the task of merely maintaining strong and sturdy the structures of the constitutional order is unending, the continuing and ceaseless work of every generation." Now, Cheney writes, in conclusion, "Every generation of Americans has fulfilled its duties to support and defend the Constitution. That responsibility now falls to us." Strong words. Well written, Liz Cheney. I wish I read them as well as she wrote them. I don't often shine a spotlight on an op-ed from the Wall Street Journal or anything written by any member of the Cheney family. But these are strong and courageous words in this nation we now live, this nation on the brink of desired fascism. There are many amongst us that would wish this to be a fascistic state and would wish that Donald Trump somehow magically would be restored to the presidency, you know, that he lost through the Electoral College vote and the popular vote, state by state by state. So anyways, well done, Liz Cheney. We're going to talk more about the January 6th. I cannot wait for the hearings, the public hearings. I think we might broadcast some of those right here on Devil Radio and WAUK 540 AM and the Shaw 101 FM. Jim, listening in Kansas City. Welcome, Jim. What do you got for us?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, Jim.
Well, I just wanted to say I'm a new listener, and I was going to have something to say, but I'm going to hold it back and just say that, I'm hoping that it sounds like this is going to be a lot better source for information about what's going on up there, because it sounds like it's a big problem. It sounds to me like the city of Minneapolis is like one gigantic void for constitutional law, and the Hennepin County government is not helping at all. At this point, I think probably the whole state of Minnesota, because there should have been something done there long ago about all these police killings. This most recent one, see, now I'm saying it, but this most recent one is just absolutely outside the law. When they do what happened last Thursday, when they do that in a foreign country, you know what they call it? state-sponsored death squad. That was completely uncalled. I mean, I'm not blaming anyone specifically, but at this point, that should have been worked out. They should have figured out what happened there, and just completely discarded it at this point. And I mean, if the whole Minneapolis city government, all the way down to the dog catcher, had to resign, if I worked there, I would resign because I wouldn't be a party to any of that that's going on.
Now, are they we talking about the Mecki Speed, the shooting of Amir Locke? Apparently, that was a no-knock warrant executed by the police, according to the Twin Cities, Twin Cities Pioneer Press. Is that the specific shooting we're talking about?
Well, yeah, but it's not just that one. That's the one that I, up until then, it was all either benefit of the doubt or none of my business. But that, they just want to talk about the no-knock warrant. But the no-knock warrant isn't the problem. The problem is whoever it is that decided to use a no-knock warrant, whoever it was that gave the training, the kind of training that they had. I mean, the way I see it, once they were inside that residence, it was the other, like, if they're out in public, okay, then that guy does what he does, he gets shot, fine. But when they're inside that residence on a no-knock warrant, it's the other way around. I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, you have a right to the whole reason why we have the right to keep and bear arms is so that if the King of England decides to make an unannounced entry to our home, you know, we can defend ourselves. And that's what the guy was doing, and they went ahead and killed him anyway. That is a huge problem.
Jim, you make an excellent point. Newest reporting from the USA Today, I don't know that I'll get much past the headline. In the raid that killed Amir Locke, Minneapolis police insisted on a no-knock search warrant. SWAT raid that killed Amir Locke in Minneapolis last week was not going to be executed as a pre-dawn no-knock search warrant until the Minneapolis Police Department insisted, according to the St. Paul Police Department. I know I'm butchering that, but the police insisted that it be executed as a no-knock warrant, jump. And I think that's part of what you take objection to. I got to be honest with you. I haven't really been following that particular shooting closely. Over 1,000 police against civilian shootings in this nation each year. More Devil's Advocates. Hour 2 is next.